Hey there, Hoops fans, and a belated Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everybody out there. It is your boy, Jonathan Macri, and I am back after a week-long hiatus. Been taking a little bit of time to rest and relax. I realized earlier today I put the letters R, ampersand R, in an email to someone. It's actually one of our interns who's much younger than me, and as soon as I wrote it, I'm like, this person has no idea what R&R means, and I am fucking old, but I'm not as old as the guy I'm talking to today. How you doing, Sean with a W? What's new?
I'm doing good. Hope everyone had a good Christmas holiday. Hope everyone had a good Hanukkah holiday. Hope everyone is enjoying their Kwanzaa. And let us be one of the first to wish you a happy new year and all the best in 2026, because most likely the next time I'm on the air with this fine gentleman for NBA Takedown, it will be 2026.
Is it going to be a happy new year, Sean?
Listen, we project these things forward, and every year we think it would be a great year. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. This 2025 personally left some things to be desired for me. But you know what? In 3 days, we get to start over and try again, God willing.
I got a house. Well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say I got a house this past year. The bank got a house, and they let me live in it.
Yeah, exactly. That was me. That was me 3 years ago. Like, all right.
God. Before we get into NBA, and we have a lot to get to today, I wanted to say that I thought of you about the reason why I was late, if I'm being honest, is because I hadn't eaten all morning because I had a crazy morning, and I needed to just get something in my stomach. So I heated up some Christmas ham. It's December 29th. The ham was made on December 25th. Yay or nay, Sean? Yay or nay?
I would say yay, because listen, if you go to the store and you buy ham, the ham doesn't expire in 2 days. You get like, I think when you go to stores, like buy like freshly sliced deli ham, you can get like 5 to 6 days out of it. So
5 to 6?
Yes, I think. Because I remember.
Hey, so, more than that, but.
Well, I'm talking about like the freshly sliced deli ham and not the ham that you buy like the Oscar Mayer prepackaged beef.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I got you.
So, which is funny because I don't eat ham anymore. I cannot eat ham anymore. I don't know why. I can eat bacon. I will mash up some bacon, but ham, I'm off it.
Doesn't agree with you, or you don't?
No. There was a time where I just started eating turkey ham. And I was just trying to like reduce the amount of pork that I eat. But
oh, you know, to be clear, I never eat ham. The only reason I'm eating ham now is because it was in my fridge because we made it for Christmas. I never, ever, ever get ham at any time.
Okay. No. 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 But listen, I think you're perfectly fine. I think your stomach will be fine eating ham for Christmas Day.
Oh, I know my stomach will be fine. I just wanted to see if you were going to take offense because you're siding with whoever the hell.
I told you, I don't side with him.
Okay.
He's the one that was like, by Saturday, got to go. I will eat Thanksgiving leftovers a week later. So,
well, thank you for siding with me and not.
Plies.
That's it. Crazy. I didn't remember that one. So a lot to get to today. We're doing NBA buy or sell. I wrote down five takes/topics that it is going to be up to the esteemed panel of one, Sean with a W, to buy or sell. Before we get that programming announcement, or two programming things. Number one, I don't even know if this was the case last week. I forget because my memory is shit, but we're over 2,000 subscribers on YouTube. Shout out to all of you who have subscribed on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed on YouTube, go subscribe on YouTube. Also follow us wherever you get your pods. And sorry for the lack of content over the last week, 10 days. I've been, frankly, catching my breath after what was a marathon-ish first three, you know, months of the season. If you I don't know how you feel. For me, the season started when Knicks training camp started, which was like September 23rd.
I think it was like the 26th, but yeah, it was before everyone else.
It was the first one to start because they had the Abu Dhabi trip. Yeah.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, I put in my 3 months. I need to take like a week off, but we'll be getting back on our regular schedule, including as I have like kind of alluded to for a few weeks now, putting out some more short form content, both on the YouTube and hopefully on the podcast feed. That's number one. Number two, I said to Sean, we're going to get right to the buy or sell today. We're not going to do a takeoff. And yet the internet, well, the internet is undefeated because they presented me with something which I could not say no to. So briefly. So good sign for today's show that I played. I came across this before. I don't know if you saw this. Our friends at NBA Central, and when I say friends, I of course mean they're complete strangers because I don't think they know we exist. Sean, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What is the statute of limitations on how long I have to continue reading about players who not only are no longer relevant, but have not been relevant since Joe Biden finished his first 100 days in office, like right around when he finished his first 100 days in office? That's the last time Ben Simmons mattered. And yet, like an hour ago, I got this popping up on my phone. Ben Simmons says his shot finally feels good and he's working on becoming, quote, bulletproof on the court. End quote. This is per The Athletic. Ben Simmons, as you may or may not know, has been doing a lot of fishing. According to this, he's training. He's going to try to avoid further setbacks, yada, 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 trying to shoot without discomfort, so on and so forth. Sean, I just can't. It's been 5 years. What are we doing here?
I think the statute of limitations is 5 years because ever since.
So we're almost there?
Yes. Well, see, I would say so. Bill Simmons always says once you win a championship, you have like 5 years of like you have 5 years of like glee and like everyone in the organization is basically off limits. Also the Philadelphia Eagles. But you're fine. I don't think that can apply. I think for the NBA, I think for NBA players it has to be three because, I mean, there are new players coming in every year. Their players getting better. This is somewhat personal for me because I remember spending the entire summer of 2021 telling people who consistently made excuses for Ben Simmons's shortcomings, whether because, you know, it was because what Doc Rivers said in the press conference or what Joel Embiid said in the press conference or his mental health, this and the third. I have a number of friends who tried to tell me, including a Sixers fan. I've been telling them for years that Ben Simmons is not who you think he is because I felt that way since he got outplayed by Buddy Hield in a game at Oklahoma.
Man.
Yes.
His roots run deep.
Yes. So, and now, honestly, Ben Simmons is slowly become one of the biggest trolls in NBA Twitter because every 6 to 9 months, we get a story about how good he's feeling, how the shot is looking good, get some LA Fitness videos, and then it amounts to absolutely nothing. But there are people who will still talk themselves into this. These are the same people who believe that, who are surprised that Cam Thomas, his value for a trade is not as high as some people make, as some others say it is.
Sean, with all due respect, I don't disagree with that, but Cam Thomas played in an NBA basketball game this weekend, they won that NBA basketball game. He played well.
That's true. That is true. But two things can be true.
We are at the point where the period of time for which Ben Simmons is not a relevant NBA player has now exceeded the amount of time that he was a relevant NBA player. You know, maybe that should be the statute. Like maybe like LeBron James, in year 21, 22, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe he could be relevant for another 22 years and then we could stop talking about LeBron James. Although I don't think we're going to ever stop talking about LeBron James. So
agreed.
Okay. Do you want to get to my, I don't even know what I'm officially calling this, our buy or sell. Yes. And again, you're going to be the one doing the buying or doing the selling, and you cannot opt out. There's no pass. Well, there is no.
Who do you think I am? Opt out. Fuck out of here. Opt out.
Listen, some people run from the smoke. You are not one of those people. Thankfully, that's why I love having you on the show. All right, you ready for the first topic?
Let's roll.
All right, topic number one: tanking reform is working. Are you buying that because the Washington Wizards, I was about to say New Jersey again, Brooklyn Nets, Charlotte Hornets, and Utah Jazz are all on winning streaks. Winning streaks. That means they've all won at least two games in a row. I'm not making this up. That the existing tanking reform that the NBA has instituted, which has seen, the worst team in the league fall to fifth several times over the last few years, which has seen the Dallas Mavericks jump up and get Cooper Flagg and the Hawks jump up and get the first pick, albeit one that they seemingly screwed up. We're going to get to that in a bit. Do you think that that what they have done already is working and that we do not need to resort to some of the proposed potential tanking reforms that we can get into in a moment?
This is a hard sell, okay. Absolute hard sell. I'm not going to attribute the new tanking rules to the fact that the Brooklyn Nets, I almost in New Jersey myself, that the Brooklyn Nets.
It's deep. It's in the DNA.
Have a coach who clearly is, I think some people are crying a little bit too fast, but clearly is better than advertised and is trying to win every game. The Washington Wizards, I mean, if you're in the lottery enough times, you assemble enough talent at some point, you have to start kind of winning games. Utah, what's today? The 29th of December? Check back in a month.
We're going to talk. I want to get back to the Jazz, but keep going.
But listen, here's why I would sell this. Last season, the Dallas Mavericks had the 11th best lottery odds and won the lottery. The year before, the Hawks had the 10th best lottery odds and won the lottery. Now,
that's correct.
Before that, the Spurs were third and they were first. The Magic were second and they were first. And the Pistons were second and the Pistons first and they were second. But I say that to say this. The last time the team with the worst lottery odds won the lottery has been a while. And as
it's sad that that's a good trivia question at this point, because I actually can't. Hold on. I'm going to look this up. Do you know offhand who it is?
It is the 2018 Phoenix Suns.
Look, it's Zach with an H.
And it's Zach with an H who is here to do what?
He's here to say hi. Ask him if tanking reform is working.
He's here to drop off something that I have to do after the show.
Okay. But what a good son you have. That's a beautiful thing.
I'll tell you after the show. I'll tell you what it is. And you're gonna absolutely laugh.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. So I remember one year the year the Pistons had the worst record in the league, they dropped to fifth.
Yeah. It's happened a few times. Last year with the Jazz, in a stacked top four, they fell to fifth.
And the Nets fell to eighth, I believe, from fifth. What I believe tanking reform has done, and I remember Rudy Gobert, of all people, pointed out after the first or second year of the new lottery rules, he said, all this is going to do is incentivize even teams better than the worst teams to tank. Shout out to Mensa Smith from Knicks Film School, who coined the term Portland Pivot. Because you get to the All-Star break and you're like, you know what? It literally makes no sense to go one way. Listen, at the end of the day, as long as there's an incentive to not win games in this league, no amount of tanking reform will ever work unless all the lottery teams, all the non-playoff teams have flattened odds, because at that point, and honestly, at that point, what you'll probably have is yes. So right now, I believe the Hawks are like 10th or 11th in the East. Maybe that team says, you know what? Instead of getting our brains beat in the first round of playoffs, we will go the other way. But other than that, like, there's an incentive. Teams are going to tank. Particularly small market teams that do not have access to star talent in the way that big market teams do through free agency.
So here's my, I don't know whether what you just said is true in this specific sense. You just said, as long as there is an incentive, teams are going to tank. Mm-hmm. I think there is probably a world where the incentive is so small that teams will not tank. We do not live in that world, because as of right now, we live in a world where, again, even if you're the Jazz of last year, and even if you finish with the worst record, you know you are getting a top five pick. There is no universe where you fall to sixth. Mm-hmm. And that is especially true. And this is why the NBA, one of the rumored proposed adjustments that the league is thinking of making is making, I don't know how to phrase this, like mid-lottery pick protections illegal. For instance, we are about to enter a fascinating final 3.5 months of the season for your Utah Jazz, who are currently have the ninth worst record in the league, which means they are like worse than a coin flip away from losing their top eight protected pick to who else? The fucking Thunder. So the league, I think, is thinking, okay, if you want to protect it, top four, protect the top four. If you want a lottery, protect it, lottery, protect it. No more of this top six, top eight, top 10 Michigas, because that is when you get into the like true chicanery, which you seem to believe the Jazz are going to engage with. I don't know how easy that's going to be for whatever it's worth, but
that team is shameless. I put nothing past them.
Well,
here's what I'll say, and shout out to the Hoop Collective that was listening to not the most recent episode that dropped today, the one before that, when they were talking about tanking reform, and Brian Windhorst made a very good point. He said you can have the greatest idea for tanking reform, you still need 23 NBA owners to approve it.
That's
and the newsflash, the majority of these owners who are in small markets are not going to implement anything that they believe gives them a chance,
a worse chance
yeah, to gain top talent in this league. Like in this country, our government is capitalistic and our sports are socialistic, and and sports billionaires love sports socialism. Hello, Kansas City, Kansas. And they're not going to, I just don't see it. Like, I think the removing the protections after like top four, I think that has a realistic chance of passing, because that's like, all right, well, whatever. Because then it makes it looks like they're doing something, but they're not really doing anything crazy. But as long as being bad, as long as being bad is a pathway to top talent, this is teams are going to tank.
And that, I think, that's the last piece of it for me, because, and this is the thing I don't think is ever going to get approved, what if there were a scenario where, and again, like there's been apparently some of this stuff bandied about, where after a certain point in the season, and like who's to say what that point in the season would be, suddenly it flips to like now winning games helps you get the top pick. I'm with you. I don't think, like, look at the league. Like, when is the NBA ever done anything truly radical, like in our lifetime?
It's probably the 3-point shot, and that took 35 years for it to become as radical as it has.
Yeah, but even that, they instituted it as a means of, correct me if I should know this because I have the freaking ABA loose balls oral history behind me. I think they did as one of the compromises when they folded in the ABA, was to bring on the 3-point shot. So even that wasn't like, I guess to me, and again, we could spend a whole episode on banding about different ideas of what might actually work and what would be too unfair versus, you know, okay. Like something that would be as radical as it would need to be to actually fix the problem, to your original point, that would count as the most radical thing the league has done probably since like instituting the 24-second shot clock, or like it's free agency or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just don't think they're gonna do it. Okay. Second one. Buy or sell. The Pistons are who we thought they were.
I am going to buy this.
Why am I not shocked?
And I'm going to buy this for the reason that it's the same reason why I push back on people who think the Pistons are title contenders. They have
title contenders or finals contenders?
Sure, pick one. Finals contenders. They have one guy who can score and create.
Fighting words.
They have one guy. I said it last week.
You've been very consistent on this point.
The Pistons are the spring 2024 Knicks, who were down three starters, and it was Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and Precious Achiuwa. Now, I believe.
Can I jump in? Hold on. I'm fine with that if you add in the words "with more depth," because that team was like 6.5 guys.
Yes.
Now, by the coach's decision.
You beat me to it. So now I'm not saying that the Pistons' talent level is exactly that of the spring 2024 Knicks, because Jalen Duren would easily be the second best player on
How much did Isaiah Hartenstein?
Okay, so then top three, right?
Yeah.
I just don't think that. I definitely don't think this is gonna work for them over a 7-game series over a team seeded above 5. But when you have one guy in Cade Cunningham who has to basically do everything, and you're relying on Duncan Robinson in your starting lineup and Tobias Harris in the year of our Lord 2025, they will over time, and I said this weeks ago on the show, will become easier to guard. It's hard, and which is why when it comes to MVP, I will listen to a Cade Cunningham MVP conversation, because, again, that dude has to do everything. I want to say everything. I don't mean like everything.
They fall apart. I'll look up his cleaning the glass right now. But yeah.
So it's just a matter of, not that I think the Pistons are frauds or fake, but it's hard for the Pistons to maintain that hot start the way their team is constructed over 82 games.
I'm buying this as well, with the caveat of what you just ended with, which is like, you're not calling them like complete frauds or anything. Like, their over under before the start of the year, I believe, was 46.5 or whereabouts. Like, if you thought the Pistons were a team whose ceiling was like 50 wins, let's say, like, I think that is what they are. And to put a finer point on that, so since their winning streak of what I think it was 13 straight games, in the last month, they are 9-6. They have a positive 5.0 net rating, which is, I think, ninth best in the league. They're 10th in offense, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
6th in defense. Okay. About where you would expect. But then there's the number that stands out like a sore thumb. Again, they have one guy that could put the ball in the basket. They're 25th in effective field goal percentage over these last 15 games. They were 12th. Over their 15-2 start to the season. I think I don't think they're the 26th best efficient team or most efficient team in the league. I think they're probably closer to like 18th or 19th, but I don't think they're 12th either. And it was them being borderline top 10 in efficiency with all the other stuff that they do. That's why they got off to the start they had. And then you look at their roster. You may have looked at the sheet. If you have, tell me. You want to guess how many players they have that are currently attempting more than 3.5 3-point attempts per game and are making at least 34% of their threes?
I did see the sheet, but even if I didn't, I would have guessed it's Duncan Robinson.
It is indeed only Duncan Robinson. Nobody else is doing that. They have some high volume guys, but not efficient, and they have some efficient guys who are not high volume guys. Their last four losses have come to the Clippers, Jazz, Mavs, and Bucks. And then here's the real dinger. They have the third hardest remaining strength of schedule in the Eastern Conference. So, I mean, we're doing weekly wagers for Knicks Film School today, I believe, at 2:45. Are we going to look at some updated Eastern Conference they don't have top seed odds. That's right, because those freaking things don't exist.
Our friends at Fanatics Sportsbook don't have that. But to your point, it is only a matter of time before the Detroit Pistons are no longer the number one seed in the East. And they'll be overtaken by a team that I'm not going to mention, because the people who do not root for that team that watch this podcast get very mad when you actually mention that this particular team is actually good.
Exists.
Because as I say all the time, nothing unites America in disgust like a New York team good at anything.
I mean, look, I keep not talking about them. It's totally fine. I don't want my, by the way, Cade's on off is actually lower than I thought it would have been. The Pistons are only 5.5 points per 100 possessions better this year when he's on versus when he's off. That's obviously a very good number. It's not as good as I would have expected, though. Okay, next topic. Speaking of teams that have recently beat the Pistons, the Los Angeles Clippers are who we thought they were. Sean with the W.
I never believe. What do you start 5-19? I didn't.
Well, they have 10 wins now, and they've won 4 in a row. So they've start. I think they were 6-something.
Yeah. Like I believe this is closer to who the Pits to who the Clippers are than who the than like. And now, granted, listen, you're depending on Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard, you know,
looked pretty good last night.
But how many times have we seen the whole, wow, Kawhi looked good. If he could stay, like, we've seen that so much. So well, if the checks
keep clearing, Sean.
From who?
Listen, I already had Pablo on once.
By the way, if you have not checked out that interview from the Knicks Film School podcast with Paolo Torre, absolutely check it out. It's a very good interview, especially like I had someone hit me up, someone, a well-known, pretty decent, well-known Knicks fan who said I don't want to watch this shit. And I said, one, you should. I was like, no, because he sent the clip, the short that you posted on social. And I said to him, one, did you watch the whole interview? And two, what if I told you that interview was my idea? Because it was kind of like me telling you, reach out to this dude. Let's do it. So
It was your idea. I so badly want to try to guess the famous Knicks fan that you, it's Steve Sciarrapa, isn't it?
You're not going to guess it. But when I tell you, like, oh, okay, whatever. Anyway, back to the Clippers. I had them in the playoffs,
fifth or sixth.
I think I had them in the play-in. Let me go look.
That's good job by you.
Either play-in or like, so when their guys are now playing, and granted, now one of those guys that's not playing is Bradley Beal because he's hurt. Who could have saw that coming?
Yeah. Zubac is the guy who's not playing right now that like really matters, but yes. No Beal for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I think this is who they are. I'm actually looking up where I had them. I believe I had their over in wins.
I think I took their over in wins. I don't think I was convinced of it, but I think I was on the fence and I went with their over. Just some quick stats. In addition to 4 wins in a row, so they're now two games back of 10th, 5.5 back of 8th. Speaking of remaining strength of schedule, they have the fourth easiest remaining strength of schedule in the entire league. So that matters. They're 14th in offense, 26th in defense. You figure if they jump up, you know, 5-6 spots in both categories, all of a sudden you're talking about top 10 offense, like a slightly worse than mediocre defense. All right, you might have something. And then 8-13 with Kawhi. And then the thing that I thought I looked up this number earlier in the year and I remember it not being great. Mm-hmm. When Kawhi and Harden are on the floor together, they're outscoring teams by about 6 points per 100 possessions. That's not obviously an elite number, but if you're a team that when your two best players are on the floor together, you're outscoring your opponents by 6 points per 100 possessions, you should not be whatever the hell they are, 10 and 20 or something.
Agreed. I actually had them fourth.
Not a good job by you.
So not a good job, but listen, it's still early. I'm on basketballreference.com because they have this, they have a site where you can look at standings by date. So now they're 10-21. At one point they were 6-18 and they were in 14th place. Now, granted, they're gotten all the way up to 13th place, and they are now. Listen, they're 10 games behind the Lakers for fourth. So I don't know if fourth is going to happen, but this team should be a play-in team.
Listen, the West's top six. I, with all due respect to everything that's going on, it's talk about the highs and lows in the span of a week. beating the Thunder, I'm talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves, beating the Thunder one day and then however many days later getting booed off your freaking court. I was emailing another one of our interns, Theo, who writes for Canis Hoopus, because a Timberwolves fan, and I was like, what's the temperature right now on the Wolves? And he was like, he painted a very clear picture that things are not great. And you know who they're blaming, Sean? You know who they're blaming in Minnesota? I'll give you one guess. There used to be a paper plate over his face.
Our friend, once a Nick, always a Nick, Julius Randle.
And we just named him to our 2026 Western Conference All-Star squad.
Yeah, I'm Julius Randle is always the most blamable person on any team he's on. I'm still a Julius Randle fan and a Julius Randle supporter. Yes. But he's just easy to pick on.
But he
brings it on himself.
All right. Other than the Suns, who I actually have a very hard remaining strength of schedule, granted, I don't think the Clippers can overtake the Suns. The Suns have an 8-game lead on the Clippers. I think 8 games over 51 days. You know what? I take that back. I don't think that there is a single team from seventh on down that the Clippers aren't capable of overtaking. And that very much includes the Warriors, who I watched the end of that game against the fucking Raptors last night or yesterday. That Warriors,
they're in trouble.
It's not going great.
I have made several bets on the Warriors not to make the playoffs. And it was like plus 400, plus 500, plus 600. I said, nope. Nope.
Good job by you. All right, next topic. I'm leaning into my movie fandom, obviously, in part because I just saw Marty Supreme and freaking loved it. Timmy, if you're out there, come talk to me about Knicks fandom. Free promotion for your movie. Every little bit helps. J.J. Redick versus LeBron James is the new or is the Leonardo DiCaprio versus Timothy Chalamet of this NBA season. For anybody out there who doesn't watch movies, whoever could not watch movies, this Oscar race for best male lead is shaping up to be a battle for the ages between the established king of cinema, Leonardo DiCaprio, the last living movie star, if you will. He's the LeBron James in this analogy. And then the young brash upstart, Timothy Chalamet, who have you seen Marty Supreme yet, Sean?
I have not. Maybe I'll try and see it this week.
Make the effort to go see it. It's okay. Quite good. It's a very enjoyable movie. If you liked Uncut Gems, it's actually very similar in feel to Uncut Gems. Not as much Kevin Garnett, unfortunately. So Timmy's coming for the crown, and I think JJ is like. Before I get into my thoughts on it, are you buying and selling that this is a real thing, like J.J. Redick versus LeBron James, or are we making much ado about nothing?
Not only am I buying this, I am surprised it took this long.
Do tell.
I mean, I've watched J.J. Redick on television and his podcast years now. Like,
he's been out there.
Like, this is like JJ doesn't give a damn. He will tell you how he feels and he will not hide from it. He won't back down from it. Now, shout out to our man DJ Zool that said, you know, him acting like this is going to lose the team. And I can see where he's coming from. But at the same time, this is who he is. This is who, like, no one should be surprised that JJ Redick was. And listen, I think JJ was being reserved. Because I think JJ, if he could find a way to name names, he would have let names fly on in that press conference after Christmas. Like, and listen, we all know. Like, well, see, I will say this: I think people think they're pointing at LeBron. I think he's talking about LeBron and somebody else on that team.
He said players, and he said it's the same guys. Yeah. So I don't think, and to your point about JJ being honest, I don't think he would suggest publicly that it is multiple players when in his own mind he thinks it is one guy. If he's saying it's guys, I think he means it is multiple players.
Yeah. Like, and listen, I believe it's multiple players, but I believe, like, he spoke about basically effort, especially on the defensive end.
And on the glass, which we all saw the clips floating around of LeBron.
Like LeBron doing that, DeAndre Ayton get killed on the glass. Now, shout out to Ayton. The next day, he took responsibilities. Like, I got to be better on the glass. But defensively, like, listen, LeBron, again, is LeBron turns 41 years old in tomorrow.
In tomorrow, he does turn 41 years old.
I was going to say in 2 days, like, no, wait a minute. His birthday is the 30th of December, 1984, tomorrow. And the best player on the Lakers hasn't always been known to have the best effort level when it comes to defense, Luka Doncic. So, listen, the other thing is, I will say, JJ Redick is also the type of guy that's like, listen, if this job doesn't work out, I will go back to television and podcasting and not give a flying you know what. So they have a guy, and listen, so basically you have a guy that almost has nothing to lose. A guy who watched the Lakers play footsies with Dan Hurley for like 6 weeks before offering the job. He doesn't care. He's gonna do the job his way.
Here are some teams that the Lakers, who are currently ranked 25th in defense, rank worse than in the defensive rating rankings. The Charlotte Hornets, the Chicago Bulls, the 6-26 Indiana Pacers, who are actually 22nd in defense, credit to them, and the Atlanta Hawks, although the Atlanta Hawks haven't had Trae Young on their roster for most of the year. We're going to get to them in a moment. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, man, you know me. Mm-hmm. I've matured over time. I don't let stuff get to me as much as I used to. That Rich Paul interview caught me something fierce.
Which one?
The one where he was basically, well, blamed Redick for not being
Oh, his show with Max Kellerman.
With Max Kellerman, yeah.
Okay.
What other one am I forgetting?
I thought that
about?
Was like, is there some special interview?
No,
like,
no.
That's his show where he's getting
Whatever. His show where he was, you know, basically saying, they're not contenders and LeBron's not being used the right way and Austin Reeves should go to the bench and take a page from Manu Ginobili's book and this and the other thing. I think LeBron, this is all classic, petty LeBron bullshit. And I'm so fucking sick of it. And I just, it is very emblematic for me of the complicated feelings I've had about LeBron James throughout his entire career, where I have ebbed and flowed between like really truly appreciating for what he is and appreciating where he has come from and all that it took to overcome the myriad things that like no human person should ever have to overcome, let alone actually successfully overcome, athletic ability or not. And yet he's just not my cup of tea. And yeah.
Yeah. Listen, two things. One, every superstar has something that that's going to piss you off about them.
Of course.
And this is LeBron's, his passive aggressive, whatever, right? Also, as I'm looking up here, so on December 5th, which is the December 4th, so 21 games in, which is the last time the Lakers were the 2 seed, mm-hmm. and people were trying to convince themselves that they were title contenders. And I said at the time, the point differential didn't really point to that. And they were, at the time, they were 13th in point differential in the NBA. Yeah. And now they're 13th. And what a surprise! In the Western Conference, they are
they're a top 16, they're fourth
and sinking.
They're not a threat to be a top 3 seed. I don't think.
Yeah. At the end of the day, listen, JJ is smart enough to know that he knew that stuff from, he knew that stuff from Rich Paul, where that came from. So this is his retort. This is his reply. It's not that they could trade LeBron because LeBron has a no trade clause. It's funny. The one team that LeBron James would absolutely waive his no trade clause has absolutely, positively no interest in him whatsoever. And that is your New York Knicks. And I say that as someone who's he has used that team as a pawn, as leverage, as whatever he's needed to do for years. And now the get out of jail free card has gone up in smoke.
To be clear, I am not saying that I think at this stage of their respective careers, LeBron James or OG Anunoby is a better player than LeBron James. I want to make it 1,000,000,000% clear. I'm not saying that. As Sean mulls it over in his own head. I'm not saying that. Y'all could talk to Sean.
This season?
If I'm doing a player rankings right now on rest of this year, I'm putting LeBron James over OG Anunoby. I'm not really thinking that hard about it.
If you polled the 29 other GMs and said, who would you want?
That's not what I said.
It's because you could make an argument that this, like, you know what it is? LeBron's peaks are higher than OG's, and they will be this season. Like, yeah, the game the other day, we had 31. He's just great, whatever. So he can ramp it up. He can ramp it up and get.
You know what? Honestly, this is we're actually going ahead to the last topic, which is the Trae Young based topic, which is like, if a player is supremely talented and really good at certain things, but because of specific circumstances, both involving them and how like teams are constructed in the NBA today, and if you want to win a title, you need X, Y, and Z. Can you still say that player is whatever the 15th or 20th or 25th best player in the league? And to the point you were about to make, every GM of a contending team, I think probably without exception, the Knicks would not trade OG Anunoby for LeBron James. I don't even think it's debatable. I think if you had whatever, however many other contending teams there are, 5, 6, 7 other contending teams, and you're like, okay, you could put either OG Anunoby on your roster, you could put LeBron James on the roster, I think most, if not all of them, would probably say OG Anunoby. So it really does get into the heart of what when we talk about a player being better than another player, there's this like funky middle ground of like really, really, really good / great players where that conversation gets really, really difficult, I think is what I'm trying to say.
It comes down to whether you value peak over consistency.
And like
evaluating players.
And also I think like specific to the NBA of 2025, where like every weak spot is going to be exploited in a playoff series, where you need two-way play, where you need shooting, and definitely need defense. And as if you could get consistent all NBA level defense from a key position, like, I don't know, a big wing, mm-hmm. like that's so valuable that it's not worth trading for the, obviously all of the skills that LeBron brings to the table, but also the deficits that he brings. Okay. Let's scoot ahead to our last topic, which is the apex version of this sort of conversation, which we just had. Are you buying or selling? I don't know if I should make this the original one or if I should amend it. I'm going to amend it.
Now I'm probably going to have the same decision, but go ahead.
You probably will. There is no team in the league dumb enough to trade for Trae Young.
Okay. I would actually sell that.
Okay.
Because the Sacramento Kings exist.
My original take was the Kings are the only team dumb enough in the league to trade for Trae Young. But you're going to, okay, that's fine.
So if it's no team, it's a sell. If it's a, well, the Kings do it, it's a buy. But even though one's a buy and one's a sell, they both come from the same premise of the value of one Rayford Trae Young Jr.
He's been in the league for this is his 8th year. Missed the playoffs 4 times. He's won 2 playoff series. His team has never had home court in a playoff series, and it does not look like they're going to be getting home court this year. At least not if Trae Young's still on the team. Someone said to me, I forget where, might have been on chatnicks.com, that like if Trey was the second best player on his team and he wasn't forced to do as much, we'd be maybe talking about him in a different light. And while I respect that opinion, the whole point of having Trae Young on your basketball team is to put the ball in his hands. If you're not going to put the ball in Trae Young's hands, then why the fuck is he on your team? So you have to look for a situation in which, like, the ball is in his hands all the time and he is doing most of the ball handling and doing all that stuff. But there's another player on the team that is better, but is also better without needing the ball, like, at all or much, you know, and is probably a threat, you know, is a shooting threat, is probably one of the three best players in the league. And like 5, 6, 7 years ago, that might have been Anthony Davis, which maybe is why you're hearing the Hawks are in it for AD. Although apparently, if they do trade for AD, Trae Young's going to have to go out to maybe a third team. So I don't want to get into all that because it seems like it's a developing situation. My point is, what is the path at this point? Because you know you're going to have a shit defense if Trae Young is on your team. Like, what? Where's the team that, other than the Kings, where's the team that's going to look and be like, yeah, we could make it work here?
I follow this league long enough to know that there's always a team besides the team in Sacramento. It's funny because a Yahoo Sports reported at 10:30 a.m. Eastern this morning that all signs point to Atlanta moving on for Trae Young ahead of the February 5th deadline, with the team indicating that they're quote-unquote looking for the exit ramp for the Hawks point guard.
Great.
Look, so when you brought up that example of the team where Trey is the second best player, but has the ball in his hands, but the best player doesn't have the ball as much, whatever. It actually reminded me of the LeBron Kyrie era Cavs, whereas LeBron was clearly the number one guy. But Kyrie Irving as the point guard had the ball in his hands. So it doesn't, I don't think it should be I need someone like Anthony Davis who's better when playing healthy, who doesn't need the ball as much. It has to be someone who's better that him and Trae can share the ball, which will never happen in Atlanta. Let's be clear. And no, we spoke about this on Countdown, on Takedown, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, no,
Giannis and Trae would make more sense, but Bucks fans are convinced that, you know, Bucks fans are convinced that if Giannis goes to Atlanta, then it's Jalen Johnson going back to the trade. They're gonna laugh, hang up the phone.
But if you had like an apex infrastructure around Giannis and you put Trae on the team, I would listen to that. You know, it's funny. You're going to hate this because you hate anytime I give anything remotely resembling a compliment to this team.
That's not true.
I know you don't even know who I want to say.
Yes, I do.
Miami.
Oh, no, they deserve a compliment. It's just fuck them, but it's no compliments.
Fuck them. I did think about, if the league decided tomorrow that Terry Rozier could be traded, it would Miami would, but what would both teams say or think about something built around Tyler Hero, who is also due a new contract by the by, Tyler Hero and Rozier for Trae Young and that's where it gets really interesting, because now there's also this freaking Ricochet piece out there that apparently they are already out less than a year and a half into the Zachary Ricochet era. Talk about picks that might come back to.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, and I was watching the Wizards play the Grizzlies last night. Sar is like, he's a real dude. He's very real.
And to give.
And Castle, obviously, and some of the other
guys. To shoot some bail to Atlanta, Alex Saar said Atlanta, looked at Atlanta and said, I don't want to play there, which I think is nuts. So when you basically said, I'd rather be in Washington, but
Washington's a great American city. I mean, so is Atlanta.
But so I say that
lemon pepper wings.
They didn't choose, Atlanta didn't choose Ricochet over Saar as much as Sar chose not them, and by default they went with Ricochet. Yeah. But I'll say this: it's funny you bring up Ricochet because. So I was
wait, hold on. Before we move on to Ricochet, real quick, would you let's say Young and Ricochet for Hero, Rozier, and let's give Atlanta a pick. Let's give Atlanta a first round pick.
Okay. I don't know if Miami has picks to trade. They probably have
even with the Rozier thing hanging over their head, they have at least one pick to trade.
Who says no?
Who says no? I don't even know if that it roughly works salary wise.
You know what's funny? I don't think either team says no, because if you're Miami,
you think that trade happens?
Because think of all the old things that you said.
Listen, I think both, for the record, I think both teams probably say no, but continue.
Well, okay. Pat Riley is 79 years old.
If we know.
He wants a star. He likes to go star hunting. This is probably the only star he can realistically get within the next 2 years. To your point, they don't want to get... Tyler Hero's going to ask for the max. They don't want to do that. Atlanta is desperate to get out of the Trae Young sweepstakes.
Desperate enough to give Tyler Hero the contract, essentially, that they like don't want to give. I mean, you'll save a few dollars, probably, I would guess, with Hero. I just think it's interesting because I think you could argue that Hero is a better fit in that. Is he the on-ball maestro that Young is? No, but he's also not Trae Young's the worst defense player in the league.
Yes.
Like Tyler Hero is a bad defense player. He's not that, you know? So it's like you're giving some, but you're also getting some. And that's why I thought about it.
And the offense will be a little bit more egalitarian because Tyler Hero can't go and walk into Atlanta and, you know, demand he gets all the shots as in third. And also in the second apron era, like, you know, again, shout out to Hoop Collective. They said that, you know, in three pre-second apron era, Trey would have gotten the max without thinking about it. And now that's not the reality anymore. And if it's that's not world. The reality for Trae Young, it's not the reality for Tyler Hero. The reason I bring up Ricochet actually is connected to Trae Young here. First I want to say that I miss hanging out talking smack to all the Atlanta Hawks fans, because they can be annoying, but they're far better than the whiny Sixers fans or the jealous, the delusional Celtics fans who think that.
I hope you don't wind up eating those words.
Who think Tatum's going to come back and they're going to go right back to NBA Finals. Enjoy.
How many put the finals part aside. How many do we have any outstanding beverages on the line?
We have one I forgot to write down.
You owe me, right?
I think we have a pending beverage bet.
Start writing these down. Yes. I will bet you a beverage that Tatum plays in the NBA this season. If you want. If you want to back out, that's fine.
I'll take the bet. Okay. I'll take the bet.
I'm writing it.
And because I also think that it is an awful idea if he plays this year.
That's not part of the bet.
I know. I'm just saying it is. And also, a lot can happen between now and February, because if the Celtics go on a slide and it's like, oh, let's bring back Tatum and get into playing. Like,
That's why they call it a bet. Lots could happen
Between
now and April 15th, whatever it is. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I cut you off. So you prefer talking to Hawks fans than Sixers or Boston fans. Got it.
And the Pistons fans who are trying to force a rivalry and whatever. But with that being said, so after the Knicks game on Saturday night, you know, a lot of people talking about the issues with the team, and my friend ATL Sports Victim, shout out to him, known him on Twitter for a while, basically intimated that it's like people aren't going to blame Quinn Snyder, but he should be blamed for this loss.
Oh, come on.
So I replied, who could have saw this coming, with a screenshot of this tweet, which says, oh, Nate, being Nate McMillan, is not the guy for sure. And by the way, this tweet is from December 16th, 2022. And I said, Nate McMillan is not the guy for sure. But let's say you hire a real guy for real background, like Quinn Snyder. If number 11 won't buy into him, what's next? And again, that was December of 2022. And I said, what if they hire Quinn Snyder? Doesn't work out. Then whose fault is this, right? So my friend ATL Sports Victim replied and he said, keep blaming Trey for the Hawks failing to put actual talent around him.
And when this is after last night or 2 nights ago?
This was on December 28th, 2025, 4:27 p.m.
Stop.
And it. I said, wait a minute. Let me do a little bit of research here. And I did a little research this morning and I found that I said, let me look at who Trey Young's teammates are. And Trey Young's teammates include Jalen Johnson, who is currently second in odds for most improved player.
I still think he's going to be an all-star. I know that they've taken a slide. I still think he deserves to be an all-star.
Funny thing is the guy said, talent is the problem here. Okay. And he said, Trey's never played for an all-star. And I said, well, that's going to change this season. Yeah. Right, because Jalen Johnson again, second in MIP vote, MIP odds,
yep.
Third most triple doubles in the league this year. Jalen Johnson had a game where he's had 31, 18, 14, and 7 steals, 21, 18, and 16, 41, 14, and 14, 29, 12, and 12. Trae Young also played the Dyson Daniels, the reigning, yep, defending most improved player of the year, who finished second in defensive player of the year last season.
And it was a lot more trade value than Trae Young, by the way. Continue.
And was all defensive first team last season, who was also first in steals and seventh in the league in defensive EPM. And Nikhil Alexander Walker, who has always been a great defensive player, who went from averaging a career 8.6 points per game going into the season. And this year he's averaging 20.3.
And not only that, you just described, if you were going to tailor make a number two, a number three, and a number four for your roster. And maybe that's a little kind to Nikhil Alexander Walker and Dyson Daniels, a two, a four and a five, right? Behind a defensively challenged first option. I think those would be three guys who are pretty high on the list, especially given their respective price points. Nikhil Alexander Walker not making a ton of money. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, by the way, the guy you didn't mention is the guy who hit 8,000 threes the other night, Onyeka Okongwu, who has taken steady steps forward as a center. He's not even making a ton of money. I know they have the Porzingis salary slot that they're not getting anything from right now, and that's a little annoying, but whatever. Mm-hmm. They didn't pay anything for him. Yeah. The team is there. The roster is there. They were a better than 500 team without Trae Young, and now he's – and I understand it's a little bit simplistic to be like they're, you know, the 0-5 and like put it all on Trae Young. It's not all on Trae Young. But still, man, I don't know why you would want to – inherit this problem that the Hawks, are they the best run organization in the world? No, but they've had 7 years to figure, or almost 8 years to figure this out. And they might as well be at square one with this.
I'll say this. One, Hawks fans told me Onyeka Okongwu was the Giannis stopper his rookie year. So shout out to Hawks Fan TV. But listen, like you said, 7 years. In those 7 years, the players have changed. The coaches have changed. The general manager has changed. Maybe the trains have changed. Everything else has changed. And here we are. And listen, Hawks fans, if you still want to flex the 2021 first round series against the Knicks, fine. I will tell you this, and I'm not trolling here. You getting to the Eastern Conference Finals in retrospect was the worst thing that could have happened to you.
It's not a troll. And
believe you were closer than you actually were.
Well, that was the thing that spurred them, because they didn't want to pay John Collins before that Eastern Conference Finals run. Mm-hmm. And then once they made that run, it's like, well, I guess we got to pay John Collins. Mm-hmm. And the second that they made that decision to pay him, I think it was 5 for $125.
Yep.
He instantly became viewed as one of the worst contracts in the NBA. And he was just not that level of player. I don't know if that's the pivot point for them, because they ended up, salary dumping him. They didn't get anything else. But there's other stuff too on the, they have Krejci, who's shooting the lights out of the ball. Gayden has kind of fallen out of the rotation. He's an interesting player. Ason Newell's an interesting player. They have stuff there.
Yeah. Don't tell me there's not talent around. There's not talent on this team. No. Don't tell me that. It is it's not going to happen in Atlanta. And I think Atlanta has finally realized it's not going to. Oh, lest we forget, the multiple picks they traded for.
DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray, which, and listen, I'll give the Atlanta front office credit. Getting back Dyson, getting rid of him, getting Dyson Daniels back is a masterstroke. But I listen, there's all, again, in a team, in a league with a bunch of small markets that do not have access to star level talent as easily as other, as bigger markets, there will be a team besides Sacramento that will say, you know what, maybe we can make this work. A desperate team, I don't know, maybe a team in the Midwest whose top two all-time greatest player has bought property in the New York, bought property in Brooklyn recently. But I you can't tell me that talent construction is the issue in Atlanta. You cannot tell me that.
Just to bring it. Oh, hold on. We get to react live on the air here. The first round of fan voting is in.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, Atlanta, the time for talking about you is over. We apologize. Sneaky Portland pivot team, Atlanta Hawks, bookmark it now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Eastern Conference, leading vote getter, no surprise, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yes.
Second, by 32,000 votes over the third place guy, Tyrese Maxey, third place, Jalen Brunson. So we have Antetokounmpo, then Maxey, then Brunson. I'm actually not surprised by that.
I'm not surprised. I'm just...
If I was a kid and like I could be a fan of Tyrese Maxey, I'd be a fan of Tyrese Maxey.
Yes.
Fourth place, Cade Cunningham, and fifth place, Donovan Mitchell. So there's a Maxey, Brunson, and Cunningham are in a group very close. Then there's a drop off to Mitchell, and Jaylen Brown is like right there in six. So Mitchell and Brown are very close. And then Karl-Anthony Towns is seventh. The aforementioned Jalen Johnson is a distant eighth. So there's a big gap between Brown and Towns, and there's a big gap between Towns and Johnson. I don't have a huge issue with this. Like Brunson or Antetokounmpo being first in the East.
Does not appear.
Fine. Maxey and Brunson being neck and neck is fine.
If I were a Pistons fan, I'd be pissed that Maxey's ahead of Cade.
I think you go fuck off.
but I mean, again, and we'll discuss this on NBA on KFS Weekly Wages later. But like the idea that Maxey has better odds for MVP than Cade and Brunson is laughable to me.
That's silly. The guy who if I was him, I would be a little aggrieved here is Jaylen Brown, who's not in the top five. I'm not saying there's any one person. I'd be like, how is this person above Brown? Because Mitchell's having an awesome season. Mm-hmm. But I'd probably be pissed if I was. And also, just shout out to Knicks fans. OG Anunoby, 13th in the voting. Mikal Bridges, 15th in the voting. Josh Hart, 16th in the voting. So five Knicks are in the top 16 in voting in the Eastern Conference. Do not tell me that Knicks fans do not get out and stuff the ballot box. And then briefly out West.
I wonder who's number one. It's either LeBron or Steph.
Wrong.
No. It's Wemby. It's Wemby.
Keep guessing.
Luka?
Yeah.
Okay.
Luka 1. Jokic 2.
Okay.
Curry 3.
Not surprising.
SGA 4. Wemby 5, Anthony Edwards 6, and then in the fucking upset of the century.
Yes.
Shout out to the soccer moms in Portland. Denny Avdia in 7th place above him. Kevin Durant and LeBron James.
Raise the roof. Shout out Joel Anderson from the Rigger Tailgate Show. The Denny Avdia agenda started on this program. I may not have, but I'm taking credit for it.
I'm taking credit for it.
This is your show. So if you didn't have.
No, I brought up the on-off stats and you were like, oh, well, those stats. Remember that? No, I remember that.
When we were doing that show, I wrote Denny on my
name. Yes, you did. All
right, we will share credit. We'll both share credit. But I'm so listen, Anthony Edwards. Listen, you were talking about kids. Kids love Anthony Edwards. All right, so him being there. SGA 4th. That's interesting. Like they were 24-1, and they were going to win 78 games and never lose a game, and now he's fourth. Wow.
All right, maybe you know what though?
Ball.
It's just really interesting because like you could argue that five of the six most popular players in the league right now are in the Western Conference in Luka, Jokic, Curry, SGA, and Wemby. And before I saw these voting totals, I would have probably said that it's seven of the top eight because I would have put LeBron and KD in there too. But I guess that's not the case.
Where's LeBron?
Huh?
Where's LeBron on that list? Is he on the list?
He's ninth.
I'm actually surprised he's...
LeBron James at 536,555 votes. Half as many. Less than half as many as Nikola Jokic. And about half as many as Steph Curry.
We were convinced that LeBron's going to get voted in as a starter. And because of the fan vote. But now... I don't think because the media's not going to do it.
He's too far back. I don't care if the players put him first, and spoiler alert, the players are not going to put him first. LeBron James is not going to be an all-star this year.
I don't think so.
Unless, one spot after him is Reeves, by the way.
Unless Mr. Silver pulls a special exemption thing. The coach ain't going to vote him as a reserve. They're not going to. Well, you know what?
Who would be the Eastern? Because he did that year because it was a unique situation where you had Dirk in the West and Wade in the East. Mm-hmm. He's not going to pull. Actually, you know what? Sorry, I'm going to correct myself. Yeah. If we get nine or more,
yes,
international players,
yep,
among the 24, then Silver has to add. He could add whoever he wants. He's going to add LeBron.
He'll add LeBron. Yep.
No.
So,
but even as I say that, there would be controversies. I think there would be controversies surrounding that.
Of course, of course, of course. Knowing LeBron, he might actually like turn it down.
He's not gonna fucking turn it down.
No, because listen, he went. Well, actually, no. You know what? He wouldn't. No, actually, no. He'll do what he did last year, 2 years ago, where he'll show up and like,
yes,
he'll show up and then take a picture of street clothes. Like, oh, you're not playing. Oh, great.
I would have given 100 American dollars for a video of LeBron's face when he sees or hears about these voting returns.
You know what this means? The Rich Paul Max Kellerman show is going to be must listen to content this week because between him and Nick Wright, first things first, is going to be the outrage.
I'm not giving them my download. Fuck that. Okay. We got to go. We went way long on this, but the voting returns, fascinating stuff. I'm going to digest this a little bit more because this is the Western Conference is truly, it's fascinating to me. I'm not even going to sit here and be like, I can't believe Anthony Edwards, most popular American player in the world, is six. And yet, who am I shocked that Anthony Edwards is under?
Nobody. That was fait accompli. Like, he was going to be top five.
It's just really interesting. It's like, he is like, if you were going to create a face of the league in a lab, would you not create Anthony Edwards?
You would, because...
And yet he's sixth in the fucking West.
Well...
Is it Minnesota? Is it...
Old Julius Randle's fault.
It's Timothy Chalamet's fault for... I don't know why. White boy of the year.
I love Julius Randle. I want to make that abundantly clear.
We know. We all love Julius here. Okay. On that note, we're going to get out of here. This has been fun. Sean, I enjoyed this. It was good to get back on the wagon with you.
I appreciate it. This is fun. Looking forward to all these buy and sells blowing up on my face, except for the Trae Young one when he's in Milwaukee. but listen, they may just tell him to get out and just take whatever. Like, just get the money. Listen, we're in the era when the Clippers let Paul George walk. Everyone's like, "You're morons. You didn't get anything for him." And you know what? That was the right decision.
Well, it's got that player option though, so it's going to be dicey. Yeah. All right, we are getting out of here. Thanks for checking out another episode of NBA Takedown. Again, quick reminder, if you are someone who is maybe watching the show on Twitter right now and you want to help support what we do and make it easier for us to continue to do what we do, put out great content, live reactions, all that sort of stuff, please go over and subscribe to the NBA Takedown page on YouTube and also follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Shout out to Ben Kim Gervey and Dirty Dancer holding the chat down. Appreciate you guys especially. I will be back. We will be back. Well, I'll be back with Jeff, I think, at the end of this week.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. We'll talk to you guys soon. Peace out.